We too greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord. It has been good to be here this morning already. Thank you, Brother Ed, for your thoughts there. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, and being made conformable unto His death. How many of us can truly say that from our heart, that we would like to be part of that? You know, it's easy to say, it's easy to read, it's easy to agree to, but from the depth of our heart, to want to have fellowship of His sufferings. So I'm thankful this morning for the thoughts that were shared, and also for what Mose shared as he opened up. Could we rise for a word of prayer? Oh God, our Father, we do bow here in Your presence this morning. And we do thank You, Lord, for the great privilege and the opportunity that we have to call upon Your great name. Father, this morning, we're thankful for the Word of God that teaches us about You, about who You are, about many things in life. And this morning we heard a little bit about the sufferings of Christ. Father, we're thankful this morning for what You have done for us. And we're not able to grasp the suffering that You went through, physical and spiritual both, Lord. We're thankful this morning for being reminded of this again, the cost of our redemption. I think of the message that we heard last night. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So Lord, we thank You this morning again. We pray that You would help us to be faithful. I pray that You would give me clarity of mind and thought as I share what You've laid upon my heart. I pray that You would quicken Your word, that You would make it alive, that You would allow it to bring forth fruit, that it would not come back to You void, Lord, but that it would bring forth fruit for Your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So yeah, this morning I'm thankful to be here. For those that were at Keystone yesterday afternoon, I had looked at what what they were going to be preaching on, but I had never clicked on what they were going to share on. And so when John, there's two John Lonigers, so the one from Bethlehem, when he shared on the charge, I had a I had a hard time believing what I was hearing, because I have a lot of this similar burden. I had a lot of the same burden as what he had yesterday. So I don't make any apologies for that. I had known that I had wanted to go there. I had done some studying earlier, so the first third part of my notes are probably from before I heard his message. But I think that God wants to tell us something. He shared out of Matthew 10, I think, the charge that Jesus had given to His disciples, and it carries on down to us. But I want to turn to Matthew chapter 28, and he mentioned this chapter, And I would like to read verses 16 to the end. Then the eleven disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this morning, normally when we hear this passage read, we're thinking we're going to hear about the go ye therefore. And we will share some of that. But I think that there's something here that is more important than going than the go ye therefore. And that is in the word teach. That word, what are we going to go therefore and do? We get the idea that we're going to go forward and do something, but what are we going to do when we get there? And so some of the time we miss, I believe, what John called last night a charge, but what we miss, what the importance of once we're there, what we are going to do, and that is to teach. And that word teach is the same word as disciple. So Jesus is telling us to go and make disciples. To go and make disciples. It is a very important part of the message is go ye therefore. But I think the burden of the message that Jesus Christ had here was what we're going to do. Teach. Make disciples. And before we make too many excuses about teaching, you know, you think, well, maybe I'm not a teacher. Let's take a little closer look at the word teach. In the Strong's, it says to become a pupil, a disciple, to enroll or to be a scholar, be a disciple, instruct, teach, to make a disciple. That is what we see in the word teach. We could say that there was one more thing on the heart of Jesus before he went to the Father. And I had to think of that when John was sharing out of Matthew 10, that it wasn't just one more thing, but it was reiterating what was really upon his heart before he left this world to go back to his Father. He had a burden. You know, if you think of a dying person, or you think of a person that is leaving the scene, let's suppose that Nicholas would be leaving Bolivia, never to come back. What would he tell them? What would be the burden that would be upon his heart? Or Brother Aiden or Brother Moses, they would be leaving us here this morning, never to come back. What would be upon their heart? And it would be words that most of us would never forget. If we'd think of Moses leaving, never to come back, every time we would think of Moses, we would think of them words. So here's Jesus. And he's just ready to ascend to glory. And he's telling them, go and make disciples of me. They're to be disciples of Jesus Christ. They're not to be our own disciples. And he tells us in verse 20 that we should be teaching them to observe all things. And the word teaching there is not the same word as the word teach that we're looking at here in verse 19. One is instructing, and the other one is to be a student or making students. So this morning, the title of the message is Making Disciples for Jesus. The disciples that we are to be making are to be for the kingdom of God, for God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is who the disciples should be for. You know, it's a tremendous thing when we hear of young people getting converted, to getting born again. It's a tremendous blessing. But it has to go much deeper than that. You know, I think that is one of the tragedies of the church in America today is they get born again, but then what? There's so much more to be done than for someone to just get born again. Now, it can take a lot of work to get someone there, but to make a disciple, to actually make a disciple, is hard work. It's hard work. It's going to cost us something. You know, when little children, when they start school, this is big stuff. You know, when we have a little child that's starting first grade or kindergarten, this is a big stuff. This is quite an opportunity, right? But what happens when they get to be about fifth and sixth grade? They're kind of tired of school, or most of them are. Well, we are entering into a school when we get born again. We're entering into a school when we get born again. And it's really exciting when we get born again. It's really exciting, just like the little first grader or kindergarten. But what happens 5 or 6 years down the road? Does it become just kind of the monotonous things of life? Or is it still exciting? You know, as a mother, or as a teacher, quitting school is really not an option. Am I right? It's not an option here either. It's not an option here either. So that brings us to the first point that we want to make. I have 5 points. So before I can make a disciple, I need to be a disciple. I can never disciple someone to something that I'm not willing to be discipled into. How many of you mothers that are teaching school say that you have children into the sixth grade that have not learned something from your pupils? Somehow they teach us something, don't they? They see something from a different angle or a different way of doing things. They're able to teach us. And so it is when we are discipling people, if those that we're discipling can never teach us anything, we're not going to make it, I'm afraid. We need to be a disciple as well. So we are to be disciples for life. We never graduate. If I am not a disciple, I can't make disciples. Are we in a place, spiritually speaking, for us to be a disciple? Are we teachable? Are we studying, like we heard this morning, about the fellowship of his suffering? Are we studying to be like Christ? The things that I do, the things that I am doing, would Jesus do them? If Jesus wouldn't do the things that I am taking liberties in doing, or wearing, or talking about, are we really disciples? Or, there's another word for disciple, and it means disciplined one. Being a disciple can also be translated as a disciplined person. Does that describe me? This doesn't mean, you know, if I am, if I am doing things that Jesus wouldn't necessarily do, does not necessarily mean that I'm not a believer or that I'm not converted. But it might mean that I'm not a disciple. You know, and we can think, well, we make too big a deal out of that. But I wonder, when we stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, if that will ever enter our mind that I have made too big a deal of this. I don't think that will ever enter our mind standing before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible clearly teaches us that we came into the world naked, and we will also leave that way. There is not one thing that I can take with me into eternity, except maybe for the souls of men. I don't know how that translates, but the only thing that we could possibly have in eternity, take along to eternity, would be the souls of men. Nothing else, not one thing, not a penny, not an inheritance of anything can go with us. You know, we hear at times of people on their deathbeds bemoaning the things that they wished they could change. They wish they could change. They wish they would have done something different. Telling their children what they should not do. Asking for forgiveness. The list goes on of things that happen on deathbeds. But why don't we do that now? Why don't we do that now? Why don't we clear that now and allow him to continue to teach us? So there's a few words that we want to look at this morning. So we need to be living, you know, it's one thing to try to teach someone of something, but if I'm not living out what I'm teaching, it's hard for us to be able to teach someone in that way. We must show them how to live. We must show them by our lives how to do it. By the book. You know, the Bible is our example. You know, what did Jesus tell the Pharisees? Or what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? He says, don't do what they do, but do what they say. That's pretty sad. May that not be what is said of us. Don't do what they do, do what they say. Shame on us if that is our testimony. Can you take Can you take someone you are discipling everywhere you went this last week? If not, we're probably a hypocrite. Is that too strong? Would you recommend that they would wear what you wore last week? Could you recommend that they listen to what you listened to last week? And again, I'm afraid if not, we're being hypocrites. Jesus said about the Pharisees, they make twofold more. I don't have it now. Somehow, twofold more the sons of hell. Those that they are trying to convert. And may that not be the case here. Why would we play around with eternity? You know, daddies and mommies, it's for us as well. We need to be disciples. And our children need to know that we are. The second point we want to look at is making disciples for Jesus. Again, Jesus never tells us to make believers or converts. That's not something that he tells us to do. It's part of what goes into be making a disciple, but it is not where we start, or is not where we stop. It goes much deeper than just making converts. We need to go way beyond that. So many times people give up too soon. Why do we give up? Because it's hard work. Making a disciple is hard work. It's very trying. It can be very stressful. It's also very rewarding. It takes a lot of time. It can feel like they take advantage of you. And the list goes on. Who are we making disciples for? If we can keep that in our forefront of our minds, who we're making the disciples for, it will help us. If they're my disciples, we'll probably give up. But if we're making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ, what price is too great to pay? Many times we look at this as an option. Others can do it better. But let's look at it again. It says, go ye. Who is that? Who is that? Go ye. Therefore, and teach. Who is that? Is there anyone not included in that? That's all of us. It's for you. It's for me. It means you. And how old do you have to be before it means you? How old do you have to be to take the rest of God's commandments and start living by them? It's a commandment. It's not an option. This commandment is no different. How would your life look like? How would your marriage look like if you took this commandment that go ye, if you would put as much importance on your marriage, husbands loving your wives, as you do about go ye, how would your marriage be? How would your marriage be? You know, the Bible clearly tells us for us husbands to love our wives, right? And we try to do that. But he also tells us, go ye therefore and teach. It's a command of God. It's one of the final words that he said before he ascended to the Father. I think it's words that the disciples, when they thought of Jesus Christ, and were some of the words that they remembered him saying, "Go ye." How about if we took this commandment as serious, or how would it look about stealing or raising up our children if I would take this commandment as serious, or if I would take them commandments as serious as I do this one? And again, I'm not trying to take any other commandment that God has given us down, but I'm trying to lift this one up this morning. I'm not here trying to lower the standard of any other commandment, but I'd like to raise this one up this morning. Go ye therefore and teach. You know, if you had 1 hour, you know that you had 1 hour left in your life, what would you go do? You had 1 hour. It's 11 o'clock now. At 12 o'clock, you know that eternity will be here for you. What would you go do? What would you go do? That might be the thing that we should be doing this afternoon. Because somehow, tomorrow it's not as important anymore. Jesus didn't have any regrets as he stood there. He did everything perfectly before the Father. But he's telling us, his final command, go ye therefore. As I hear the words in my mind's ear, go and teach, I hear a plea. I hear a ring of urgency in these words. As they stood there on the mountain, I don't know if he pointed at some of the cities round about, and he was telling them, go and teach. Go and teach. And we don't read that they made one excuse. You know, they could have easily said, Jesus, now look, they just got done crucifying you. They just got done beating you. We heard of some of the sufferings that he endured this morning. They could have made all these excuses. Look what they will do with us. Look what they've done with you. But we don't hear that they made one excuse why that they should not go. Do we make excuses? How many disciples have you made for Jesus? Have you tried to make any disciples at all? Do you think we will be held accountable for this? As a church, I believe that God has used us in different ways, and God bless you for the service that you've done. I don't want to take that down at all, but I think we're a little weak in this one. God is not wanting us to necessarily quit doing what we've been doing, those things that are for his kingdom. But by the grace of God, he wants us to make disciples for Jesus. It will be the only thing that we can take with us in eternity. John 10, I have a few verses here I want to read. We're going to read verses 1 to 5, and again in 26 to 29. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then in verse 26, But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so there's two things that I'd like to note in these verses that Jesus, these words that Jesus gave us, and that is, his sheep hear his voice. And we heard that this morning from Brother Mose. When is the last time that you know that you heard the voice of Jesus? His sheep know his voice. His sheep know his voice. And what do? They follow him. They follow him. There's no doubt in these words that we've just read. It's very clear. They follow the shepherd. Again, without question, there's no doubt at all. So the question remains is, do you and I hear his voice? Do we? When is the last time that we know that we've heard the voice of Jesus? Next one is, are we following him? Go teach. The third point is, where? Where should we go and teach? Where should we go and teach? You know, that question will take care of itself if we get the burden of point one and two. That I am to be a disciple and I'm to make a disciple. Where that is will take care of itself if we get the burden of the first two points. Where? You know, a lot of times we think of this passage as we think of trying to get people motivated to go into another country. You know, and the fact is, if I'm not doing it here today, if it's not a burden on my heart today, going anywhere else in the world isn't going to solve that problem. That's not going to solve the problem. So it needs to be a burden upon our heart to make disciples. And like I said, God will take, God will take care of, that will take care of itself. You know, if you get to another country and you don't have a burden for lost souls here in the country that you live in a language that people understand, how will you ever do it when you don't go to a country when they don't know the culture, you don't know the language, you don't know anything about it anyway? It's of no use. So making disciples starts here, where we're at today. There might be more openness in a country and another country, but you'll burn out if you don't have the burden of making a disciple. If you and I are not reaching out to those around us to where we are, crossing the ocean isn't going to change anything. Where? Well, it starts in our homes. Teaching and discipling our children. That's where it starts. In some ways, it's easier at times to go elsewhere than it is to try to disciple people that actually know you very well. Because they know your faults just as well as they know your strong areas. So it's easier to go somewhere where they might not know you as well. But Jesus wants us to start here in our own homes. Our children know us. They know that if we're real or if we're hypocrites. You know, if we find ourselves as being hypocritical or hypocrites, the best thing to do is to get our family together and just tell them about our life. They already know it anyway. Be real. And if I'm trying to get my children to do what my heart isn't sold out in doing, I'm not going to be able to make disciples of them either. If I'm trying to teach my children to do something that my heart isn't in it, I might as well forget it. Because they know if it's important to me or not. The children will get frustrated, and many times they will turn away from the church. We need to repent if that is where we find ourselves. But starting with our families is where we start. Put yourselves in the shoes of those you are reaching out to. So if you're trying to make a disciple of someone, and your family is not in line, those that you're trying to teach or train or make disciples of, how much of an effect will it have if I'm trying to teach them something that they can obviously see that isn't working for me? So it's very, very, very important that we make disciples of our children. It is one of the biggest holes that you can ever have in making other disciples. If your family is not in line with what you teach others, it will mean nothing. If it's not working for you, then why should they listen to you? It is extremely important that we make disciples of our children. Actions speak louder than words. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11, Jesus gives us a little glimpse on our point here, where and this is also right before he ascended. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to set up your kingdom here now? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his power. But ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, that's martyrs, unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we see what happened in the book of Acts as they went. They turned the world upside down, they did not. But the point is, in verse 9, starting in Jerusalem, that is where they were. They were in Jerusalem, and that is where he's telling them, in my mind, that you start in Judea, then in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. It is where we are moving out. Our families first. God has given us families. God has given us children to train for his glorious name. But starting in Jerusalem. So God help us to start here, but not stop here. Go. Go where? Everywhere you find yourself. As your children come into adulthood, are you encouraging them to go and open their mouth for the sake of Jesus Christ? As they come and they give their hearts to the Lord, you're discipling them. At what point have you encouraged your children to go and open their mouth and share? It makes it more real. It makes it more real in your own life. If I just keep in here what God has done in here, obviously it's not very important, but when we go share it, it becomes important. It's something that is very important that we teach our children and maybe even make opportunities for them to go and share. If there's outreach opportunities, do we encourage them? You know, they have these outreach opportunities that we have. They come in quite inconvenient times, don't they? We need to prioritize our lives. You know, if we would only do the things that I have made planned for, what would we really get done? Making disciples is going to interrupt our schedule a lot. It just will. Do they know that in my life, this is very important? It starts here and moves out. We need people in Bolivia as well. But if we're not discipling here, we're not ready to go there. Do your children know that you would be excited if God would call them to Bolivia? I mean, we're now talking about moving on from here. Do your children know that that would be exciting to you? Are we there? I mean, we're making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's told us to go, right? Would that be exciting to you if God would call one of your children to Bolivia? Do your children know that it would be exciting to you if that was the case? Why or why not? It's part of discipling. It is part of discipling. Go ye, children. Children, Paul, go you. Right? Is it not part of discipling? Wherever God calls you? It is. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in the last point. If the only place you are okay for them to go is where you are to see them every week, you will have a weak church. If you need their help in the work more than you desire to see them fulfill God's call, I believe we're going to pay a tremendous price. We will not stand the test of time. And I know these are hard words. And some of you might think that you might go home and tell your children I was too radical. But I believe that if that's the case, you'll lose your children in prosperity. Where would you rather see your child? Serving in a foreign country where you don't get to see him very often, or maybe never again? Are lost in prosperity. It's real. It's real. We should be standing beside them, cheering them on. If we really believe that souls is the only thing that we can take in eternity with God, in eternity. And where, it doesn't matter where we go, it will never be easy. If we pray for opportunities, but I'm going to tell you that when opportunities come, they're not going to come in very convenient times. They just won't. They might come in the middle of the night. And they might come when you're wanting to have a family meeting. And they might come when I don't know when else. Just be willing to go. If you will be willing to go, if you will be willing, you will be busy. That I'll assure you of. If you're willing, you'll be busy. Because the harvest is great and the workers are very scarce. The fourth point is why. Why should we go? And we have it, not there right now. Why should we go? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It says, go ye therefore. And that therefore is backing, is wanting us to stop and looking what it's there for. It is because all power is given unto me, Jesus Christ, in heaven and in earth. All power is given to God. And this word power is not the word that we get a word dynamite from. It's the word that with authority. It's the word that has authority in it. All authority. Why don't we see that great power at work at time in our lives? It's a very good possibility because we haven't went. If we look in the book of Acts, we see a book full of power and great manifestation of God's work. Why? They heeded the call and they went. They were bold. Yes, they were sent to prison. Yes, most of them lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. But look what happened. Do you think God wants it to happen again? Do you believe that God can do it again? You know, He's not just sending us, He's entrusting us with that power that we're to do it with. The word power, this has a lot to do with authority. In the Strong's, it's the right to control or govern, authority, dominion, a ruler, privilege, influence, and it's a right. So the first thing that we want to look at in the meaning of this word is privilege. God gave this to Christ. Christ says it's His, and because it's His, therefore go and teach. This is a command. This must be a privilege to us. You know, if it's not a privilege, if this here is not a privilege to take God's word and teach it to someone else, this book will become a dead letter. This book will become a dead letter if it is not something that I'm privileged to take and share with someone else. It will become dead. It'll be a dead letter. It's a tremendous privilege to be part of God's kingdom and to be entrusted with the power of God to do His work. I had to think, how many people do you think would count it a privilege to go shine Donald Trump's shoes? I think the line would be long. And people waiting in line, if they could have their picture taken doing it and could have it on Facebook, right? So everybody could see what I did. How many people do you think would count it a privilege if they would do it and not one other soul would find out about it? How long do you think that line would be? Not very long. How is it with you and I? It is a privilege to go share the gospel with people. It's a privilege if no one else finds out about it, right? No one else finds out about it. Is it still a privilege to me? Is it something that I need to let other people know? And it's good for the church to know what is going on in other people's lives. But if I'm fed by other people knowing it, I have the wrong motive. It needs to be a privilege to serve my master. It has to be because of my master. It has to be a privilege to serve him. It won't have any eternal value at all if there's not for that reason. If we give God all the glory, he entrusts us with the power, he gives us that authority, but we only have it if we are under his authority. You know, it's a little bit like the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department, our local sheriff's department, have authority from the government to keep law in our community, right? That is what, they have that authority. Now, what happens if they would misuse that authority? If they would be arresting people for no reason? If they would be stopping people for no reason? If they would be irritating people, you could say? How long do you think they would keep their authority? It would be taken away from them. And it's the same way here. God has given us the authority to take his word and to preach it and to teach it wherever we go. As long as I'm under his authority, that will carry through. But if I am doing it on my own, if I'm doing it to be seen, if I'm doing it for any other reason, that power will be taken away from me. Maybe not from the church, but God's power, God's authority, God's blessing will leave. So it's important that we are in authority, under authority. It is never doing my own thing. That means I must be a disciple before I can be a disciple. And if this is all lined up, if we're under authority, and God has given us the command to go, and we go, and we're under authority, there'll be things that God will have that will happen through our hands that are not humanly possible for us to do on our own. I believe that. God will use us. If he gets the glory, he will use us in ways that we will know that something happened here that was not of Andy, was not in my own ability to do. He will do that. But we have to be under his authority. So all power is available to do tasks that he asks us for. That's amazing. Is that a privilege? You know, there could be some of you sitting here that feel that God has called you to do something, and it has happened before, but you want the blessing of the church on your life before you go do something. And that is very powerful. You know, Christ is the head of the church, and God works through the church. So he's not going to just have individuals out here or over there on their own doing things. It's not being under authority. But when we are under authority, Christ is the head, working through the church, wanting the blessing of the church to go do what you feel God has called you to do is very powerful. It's scriptural. And I want to bless you if that's where you're at. We don't want to be out doing our own thing. God honors that when we stand united for the sake of the gospel. And there's another word that was in the meaning there, and it's freedom. There will be freedom. We will get more done if we stand united than a bunch of people out doing their own thing. So my encouragement is that we make this a privilege. If we're not on board, let's get on board. There can be no backbiting, only building up. There can be no being envious of my brother's gifts, but praying and blessing each other. All power in heaven and earth is available to go and teach. To go and teach. All power. And it's for us. So our final point is, what are we going to teach them? It tells us, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. What is that? It's all of God's word, is it not? It's all of God's word. Observe is to keep. You're not just telling them to look at it, but it's to keep what He's commanded us to keep. It's to guard against. It's to observe. It's to obey. It's to hold fast, to watch. It's to prevent from escaping, to keep your eyes fixed upon, to observe. So our final point is what we teach as we go make disciples, and that is the all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And we have it right here in our hands. Go teach this. What a task that lays ahead of us. So another question that comes is, how can I teach this if I don't know this? God wants us to go teach the Bible wherever that we find ourselves. Here, starting at home, at our workplace, wherever we are, He wants us to teach the Bible wherever we go. But if I don't know the Bible, how can I teach them? So we are to be students. Made a full circle. Our first point was, in order to make a disciple, we must be a disciple, right? So we made a full circle. In order for me to be able to teach the all things of Jesus Christ, I must first know what they are. I cannot teach something I don't know. So I must know what they are. So I must study my Bible. I must do it. If I'm not a scholar, if I'm not a scholar or a student, I will never be able to make one either. Is it okay to just know half of the all things? Is it okay to just teach part of the all things? No, Jesus' command was to go and teach them to observe all things. So there's nothing that we leave. There's not. Yeah, it's the all things is what we're supposed to teach. And again, He doesn't want. Normally, we say we shouldn't just be able to talk about them, but we should be able to live them out, right? Well, you can't just live them out either and never talk about them. You're supposed to be able to teach others why you live, how you live. Teach others. God is commanding us. It's not, hey, if you feel like it, go ahead and do it. But He's telling us we must. Go ye, therefore, and do it. If I can do it in the language that I know, the barrier of not knowing the language becomes a lot less that if I don't know the language and I don't know what I'm supposed to be teaching, that becomes a mountain. When they can see your life and they know that you are trying, you're living what is in here, they know that. When you get to another country, it won't be as hard. It can be a handicap, but if you don't know the language and you don't know what is in here, it's crippling. Not knowing the language can be a handicap, but to not know the language and not know what's in here can be crippling. It is of utmost importance to be a student of God's Word. To not just read it, but to study it. To study it. Can you teach someone why it's wrong by God's Word? Can you teach someone why it's wrong to be divorced and remarried? That's part of the commandment, right? Can you? You know it's wrong in your heart. You know that we shouldn't do it. But can you teach somebody why we don't do it? This is part of making a disciple. This is part of being a disciple. Can you teach someone why you should love your enemy? We know we should. We know that's part of God's Word. We try to do that. But can you teach somebody out of God's Word why you do that? Being a disciple and teaching others to be a disciple. Can you do that? Can you teach somebody why you don't vote? How about denying self and taking up your cross? Can you teach someone why you should deny yourself? That goes against all human, that goes against the flesh. Can you teach someone why you should do that? How about that the love of money is the root of all evil? You know, we can go on and on and on of the list of what is in here. Can you teach him? Are you a disciple that can teach and make more disciples? God is calling us to go and make disciples. Yes, it says unto all nations, but we must first do it here with our children, with those that we work with, and then we will go to all nations. If we get the burden, the all nations isn't the problem. But the burden is that we don't have the burden to disciple souls. I feel like we've lost some of that zeal. We need to have the burden to disciple souls. Then I don't believe that going to the all nations is going to be a problem if we really, truly have a burden for souls. But it must start on our own, in our own homes. Finally, my page must have flipped here. Finally, there is a promise that we want to look at yet. And it says here, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Who's that promise good for? To those that go and teach. If you're not doing that, don't claim the promise. If you're not teaching your children, if you're not teaching those that you work with, if you don't have a burden for the souls that you're around, don't claim the promise. But what a beautiful promise that we have. God says that Jesus said he will go with us wherever we go. But we must go. You're not going alone. You're not going alone. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to go alone. He's promised that he will be there. He will go with us. So may God help us. Just real quick. Point one was, I need to be a disciple. Point two was making disciples for Jesus. Point three was where, and that is wherever we are. Point four was why, because he's given us the power, the authority to go and do it. He's given us the authority to go and do it. The last one was teach them to observe, and God will go with us. God bless you.